Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Yvonne Pierre Show. Here are some people who have overcome obstacles, have inspirational stories to tell, or helpful information to share.
She was our child, and we were to take her home. Remarkable advice for that era, when many children with Down syndrome were put in institutions.
I was living for today, not caring about tomorrow.
The Yvonne Pierre Show, living off with people, a variety day, talk show, and giving all the power to the same.
That were only gonna bring me to my knees. And I turned around and I remember this 48 years later of when I turned around and I said to her, no, I can do it. That kind of sent the tone to her right from the beginning that even though I was in a chair, you know, I was still independent. I was still going to do things.
I believe that everything happens for a reason. We are vessels that have the option to allow God to use us.
Make a choice to break the generational curses on our life.
Thank you for tuning in. Now, here is your host, Yvonne Pierre.
Welcome, 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 and thank you for tuning in to part four of the seven-part Enough series. And the Enough series is a part of the Enough campaign, which Enough, E-N-U-F, is an acronym for Ending Negativity to Unify Families. It's an online anti-bullying campaign that will encourage families to promote positivity in their homes and families. The campaign was launched by Expressions of Silent Voices, a Facebook page that was started by Kanaya Tatum and I. Kanaya and I are both parents of children with Down syndrome, but the campaign is not just geared toward families of Down syndrome, is geared toward all special needs families. This campaign is about starting the conversation about bullying children with special needs. We want to provide resources and information. Visit the website for the campaign for more information at enough, and there's no www dot, that is just enough, N-U-N-U-F, dot esilentvoices.com. Take the pledge and pass on the information. Please don't wait until something happens to get the information now, so you'll know what to look for, how to prevent it, and to try to we want to provide you with information to prevent or stop bullying when it comes to not just kids with special needs. This information is also for all families, but our main focus is the special needs community because they are at a higher risk. And plus, we're parents of children with special needs. So also share these series, the Enough series, the seven parts, with your friends on Facebook or followers on Twitter, because you simply just don't know what your friends or the people that's following you on Twitter are silently going through. Again, the website is enough, N-U-F, dot esilentvoices.com, and also the Facebook page is facebook.com/esilentvoice. If you missed part 1, 2, and 3, I encourage you to visit blogtalkradio.com/YPierre to listen to them and pass them on. Today's episode is part 4 of the Enough series, and we'll be discussing bullying stops at home. With our special guest, Dr. Nancy S. Buck. Nancy completed her doctoral studies in developmental psychology with a specialization in parenting. She has created Peaceful Parenting, applying choice theory to parenting. This represents not only her 20 years of studying and teaching choice theory around the country, but also her 20 years of parenting her identical twin sons. Nancy is well-known and recognized and applauded for her down-to-earth, human, charismatic, and humorous style of working with audiences of any size. With the information and support provided by Nancy, parents can improve their ability to parent. This results in an improved quality of life for every member of the family. Welcome, Nancy, Dr. Nancy Buck. Welcome to the show.
I'm happy to be with you, Yvonne.
As I mentioned in the, well, first, happy belated birthday.
Thank you.
And I, as I mentioned in the towards the end of the introduction, that parents, if parents improve their quality of life, that it trickles down and it affects the entire family. We see this a lot in business, and it's easy for us to, you know, equate to it when it comes to corporations or businesses, that if the leadership is off, it affects the entire company. Can you explain to us how bullying starts in the home?
I'd be happy to. Here's how it goes. All human beings are, well, actually, I changed my mind. I want to start it differently. Parents and children are in conflict before the children even arrive. And so let me explain that to you. Parents, every parent I've ever met, and I've had the good fortune of meeting parents literally from around the world, and every parent I've ever talked to, we all have the same hopes and dreams for our children. We want them to grow up to be happy, healthy, contributing people who like us enough to either come home after they've left home and visit, or let us visit them. But mostly we want them to be happy, and we want them to live their lives in a happy way, and we want them to grow up happy. But within that hope, there's another hope that parents may be less aware of, and that is we want our children to live, to grow up. So parents, every parent I've spoken with has, whether you're aware of it or not, we have this desire to keep our children safe so that they will grow up. Their children enter the world, and the last thing they worry about is being safe. They're just flat out curious. They want to taste it, and they want to touch in it, and they want to roll around and smear it on your face, and they want to get in any, you know, jump off of high places, and they're just so curious to discover the world and discover themselves in the world. So before anything even happens, Yvonne, already we're in conflict. Our children are trying to break free to go out into the world, and here we are trying to hold them close. So that basic conflict of us wanting to keep them safe and close creates our desire to control them. Now, the reason we do want to control them is not because we're mean, and it's not because we're control freaks. Truly, it comes from this desire to keep our children alive. And children don't have that desire. So part of the work that I do, peaceful parenting, is to help parents figure out how to honor their child's desire to go out into the world and be safe, while we also are teaching them how to stay safe. So the notion of bullying really comes from, and again, most parents wouldn't necessarily think of themselves as bullies. It's probably not the first term that comes to mind, but they do have an insistence. They want their child to do certain things in a certain way by a certain time, so that they'll be safe and then be successful in life. And one of the strategies that people use in an attempt to control other people is to bully, is to use some kind of powering over another human being to intimidate or to make fun of or to physically control them so you get what it is that you want. So the problem is that if parents don't know any other way to encourage their child's safety, one of the things they may rely on is bullying. Again, not because they want to be bullies, it's out of the love that they have for their child to try to keep their child safe. But unfortunately, it's not very effective to bully.
Can you give us an example of how parents can project negativity into their children?
Well, that's beyond, but let's take it up even from where we are sitting right now, the last place we talked about, which is I want my child to come home when I'm expecting my child to be home. And if my child doesn't do that successfully Monday, then Tuesday when we get up to start the day. I might be, listen, you better get home. If you don't get home when I expect you to get home, I'm going to punish you, or I'm going to take away some kind of privilege. And now if the child is late again on Tuesday, now we're going to ramp it up even more on Wednesday, and we'll do some other kind of threatening. We may call our child a name, or we may actually spank them, or we may our desire to control them may be disproportionate to the error that our child committed. And then what can happen is if this now let's say it's about our child coming home late and our child not getting to bed on time and our child not getting up on time and our child not eating successfully and well, one on top of another on top of another, now we have a parent who may say, I'm not a very good parent. I don't feel really good about myself. So in order for me to feel better about myself, what I need to do is to make sure that my child does what I want them to do. And the more we attempt to try to control our children, the less that they're probably going to be willing to cooperate. So we're not feeling very good about ourselves. We're negative. And then we spread that negativity onto our child. I would be a better parent if you were a better child. And then it goes viral from there. It can also be beyond just the parent-child relationship as well. It could be, you get bad news, and the bad news might lead to a little less money this month. And a little less money this month might mean you're a little further behind in your bills. And you're a little further behind in your bills, and you can't really feel like you're getting a hand on the way you want your life to go. And your child isn't cooperating, and you're not feeling too successful about yourself. So now you want to make your child be successful, so at least you can feel good about that. And the more we do that, the more we're spreading the negativity.
So how do we, using that same scenario, the child, mm-hmm. we want the child to come home at a certain time and they don't. How do you prevent it turning into that? How do you prevent that negativity being projected onto the child?
Right. Okay, so now let's go to where I thought it was going to start, but changed gears. But anyway, all human beings, we're all born with certain psychological needs. We're born with certain biological needs as well, and those we're pretty much aware of, at least at this stage in our lives. You know, we get hungry, we need to eat. We're cold, we need to seek some kind of shelter or warmth. We need to go to the bathroom, and we're aware of that. We're tired, we need to sleep, or we need to rest. Those are all our biological needs, and we experience them as an urge to behave. We also have psychological needs, and these are the need for safety, to feel safe and secure, the need for love and belonging or connectedness, the need for power, which is to feel important and recognized and like we make a difference, the need for fun, which is really associated with learning. When we're learning, we're having fun. Mm-hmm. And the need for freedom or for choices. So all people are born with these urges. And from birth to death, everything that we're doing is an attempt to meet those needs. So, for instance, the reason that you have this radio show, Ilan, is because you have some information that you want to share. And you have some ideas of experiences that you have. And you've met some guests along the way that you
right.
think helping parents be better informed. It's really about your attempt to meet your need for power. Now, that doesn't mean you're being, you're a power monger. You want to have power with, because with more information, we're better armed and we're better able to teach our children and protect our children. So it's really
right.
about power. And I certainly here as a guest feel like I have something to contribute. So my being here is also about meeting my need for power. So our children are born with this need for power, and as are we. And it's the power need of all the needs that we have. That's the one that gets us into the most trouble. So if I, as a parent, feel like I'm not being terribly successful and effective at work or with my bills and or with my child, I'm not feeling very powerful. But one of the ways I may attempt to meet my need for power is to power all over my child. Now, children are born with these urges, but they're not born knowing how to follow the urges responsibly and respectfully. And our job is to teach our children how to follow and meet their needs responsibly and respectfully. So the very first day, let's say it's Monday and our child comes home late, the very first thing we need to do is to understand our child came home late for a very good reason from the child's perspective. See, our child coming home late wasn't the child's problem. It's our problem, but it's not the child's problem. The child had some other problem. I don't know what it is that they were trying to figure out, and the way they figured it out was to do whatever it is they did and then came home late. So I'd start the conversation with, what was going on today, Yvonne, that you decided you would do that instead of coming home on time? What were you doing? What was it you wanted that you tried to get or that you got by being home late? And, you know, the child probably was going to say something reasonable, like maybe I stayed in for extra help, or maybe the bus driver got late and I wasn't even up my fault. I'm just arriving when the bus arrives. Or maybe I got talking with one of my friends and we got distracted and I didn't realize what time it was. So we need to find out from our child's perspective, what was it that our child wanted? What need were they meeting that brought them home late? Now we also get to say what we want and need, because it's not just about our children. So
right.
I need you to be home. I need to know, actually, I don't necessarily need you to be home. I need to know you're safe. And if you're not home, then I don't know where you are, then I don't know that you're safe. So we need to figure out a plan so that I know if you're not going to be home when you say you're going to be home, you somehow let me know so that I know you're safe, if that's the circumstance. Or if, in fact, I need my child to be home because I need you home safe and sound before the babysitter comes or whoever it is that comes, because I'm leaving. I have to go to work. And I don't want to go to work without seeing you, giving you a hug and a kiss, telling you how much I love you. And so I need to see you. So maybe if you're at your friend's house, I'll swing by and give you a hug and a kiss at your friend's house or whatever it is. But we need to point out what we need and want and how we work out how the child gets what the child needs and wants and the parent gets what the parent needs and wants. That's how you work it out peacefully. There, and it all sounds lovely as you and I are talking about this, doesn't it?
Wow.
But their problem, their life gets in the way, right? We have great plans, but then something happens and we may not handle it nearly as smoothly as that description I just gave you. So it may be, you know, that we're walking out the door with our child, getting the child into the car. Because it's a weekday morning, we're trying to get ourselves organized and out the door to get to work on time and trying to get the child organized out the door so they can get to daycare or school on time. And all of a sudden, your child just takes off running and you don't know what's going on. Well, it's really hard not to scream and yell and run after your child and put them in the car seat roughly because you're annoyed. Your child's late, you're going to be late, everything gets worse. But if you can, take a deep breath and say, what is it you wanted you were trying to get by running away? And truly, I mean, I have really extraordinary kids, but I started asking them this question when they were about 16 months old. Now, they didn't necessarily answer, but I could guess. Sometimes they wanted the truck, but a child might say, there's a new kitten over there. I wanted to see the kitten. That would be a very typical thing for a two-year-old to do. I don't care about getting to school on time. I don't care about getting you on work on time, Mommy. There's a brand new kitten in the neighborhood. This is pretty exciting.
Yeah. So how do we tap into what drives our children?
Well, that's the one big key that I'm sharing with you is to know that our children are always driven by one of six things. One is biology. So if our child's sleepy, and, you know, it's one of those days where you've gone to the grocery store at the end of the day and they're just whining and carrying on and just kind of a mess. And, you know, they're just flat out tired. They need a snack, and they need either having a dinner and or an early bedtime. But you know that's what's going on. Okay, so if you want, postpone your grocery shop until your child is not at the end of their biological rope. But if you can't, then go into the store knowing it's not going to be fun. You're not going to all be happy. But if you can, do what you can to comfort your child, get through the store as fast as possible, and put your child in the car and go home so that they can get some kind of nourishment in them, and or if you have to, pack a snack. to help with your blood sugar. But if your child is sleepy or they're tired or they need a little bit more food, that's a biological thing. So that may be driving them. Or the other possibility is they need to have a greater sense of safety, of love and belonging, of power, of fun, or freedom. All behavior is driven by one of those six things. And sometimes you can ask. And truly, that's one of the reasons I love this, is because you ask your child, what do you need more? You need a hug from mommy? Or do we need to do a little singing, a song and dance, a dance of joy? Do you feel like you need to make some of the decisions, that daddy's making all the decisions all the time? Or do you feel like you want more choices? You can literally ask your child, and they will tell you. It's really amazing. It's really amazing. Because they get it. Just like they get that, you know, I'm cold, I need some more clothes, or I'm thirsty, I need something to drink. I'm missing you, Mom, I need a hug. And they'll tell you what they need.
And I'm listening to everything that you're saying, and the bottom line is that, you know, what we're projecting on our children and how it affects, you know, like you were saying earlier, as far as the bullying and, you know, different things are happening, and we don't realize, and we don't do it intentionally, but it damages their self-esteem. And
Absolutely. And
because their self-esteem is damaged, that makes them more vulnerable to either being bullies or becoming a victim of being bullied.
And it could be also be both. I may be a victim of bullying at home, and then I turn around and bully other children at school. That's not unusual for that to occur. It looks like dad is able to get what he needs by bullying me, so I'm going to try to do the same thing and get what I need by bullying somebody else.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and nobody sets out to, maybe there's somebody, but I don't spend time talking to those people who set out trying to be mean and unloving towards their children. They don't know what else to do. And the good news is when they learn what else to do, they do it. And that's part of what I feel like my mission is to help people figure out more effective ways to get what it is that they want and need, and help their children do the same.
So now that we've talked about how it starts, how do we stop bullying at home?
Well, that's the trick, right? So, and I will also say one of the most difficult challenges to overcome as a parent is how you were parented. Because, I mean, the thing that's just so interesting is, at least from my perspective, it's probably the most important job we have in our lifetimes is being a parent. And it's the job that we get no training for, except we get to observe how our parents did it. And even then, our observation of that is off because we were kids. So we weren't necessarily viewing it accurately. I mean, I know I've certainly had moments in my life, I bet you have as well, Imam, where I say, oh, you know, I'm so sorry, Mom. I don't think I appreciated some of the things you did when I was a kid because I didn't get it. And now I get it. So that's one of the things that happens. And usually people fall into one of two positions or two places. Either people say, I really like my parents. I think they did a good job. I respect them as parents, and I want to do with my children what my parents did with and for me. Or they'll fall into the other category, I never want to do to my children what my parents did to me. Their parents served as a role model, but it was a model of what not to do, not necessarily of what to do. But if you decide either one of those, it's still difficult, because often you will, if you're a parent who says, I don't want to do with my kid what my parents did to me, and it's easy to do that when they're in bed at night and sleeping, because there's nobody nagging at you or pulling. But now you're in the middle of Walmart and your kid's having a meltdown. It's hard to know what else to do. And so often what happens, parents will fall back on exactly what they vowed they never wanted to do because they don't know what else to do. So I say all of that to say that this the job of parenting is difficult, and it's not the only thing job we have. We're doing a lot of things in addition to being parents.
Yeah.
And it's also really, really difficult to be conscious of what we're doing. And then once we decide to change, to know how to change. So the first step to changing is to just to be aware of it, just to pay attention. Do you know what you're doing as a parent? And do you know why you're doing it? It may be you know what you're doing and you know why you're doing it and you never want to change a thing. Those are the happy moments. Don't miss those when you find them. But there are other times when I as a parent would say, oh my gosh, I'm spending all of my time correcting this child. You know, David, don't do that. David, knock it off. David, sit up straight. David, take your elbows off the table. David, do your homework. You know, all I was doing all day long with my interaction with Jane was to correct him.
Uh-huh.
And then I wondered, does the child have good self-esteem? Why would he? If there's somebody behind him all the time telling him what he's doing wrong. So
yeah.
The first step is to be aware, what am I doing? And what is it that I want? What's my goal in doing that? I want him to be successful. I want him to be happy. Does it matter? Will he be a less happy, less successful person if, in fact, he keeps his elbows on the table while he eats? No. Okay. Is it how I want my child to eat? No. But eventually, we can move in that direction. But if I've got 32 other things I'm trying to correct all day long, I need to choose what are the most important ones and leave the other ones alone. Because after a while, again, most of us have had this experience, our children stop hearing us anyway. And they know it's not like making a correction changes anything. So the step one is to be aware, what am I doing and what's my goal in doing it? And can I figure out another way to get there? And sometimes I can't. Sometimes I can, and if I can, great. Sometimes I can't. And if I can't, if a parent says, I know what I'm doing, and I know it's not a good thing, and I know I need to change my ways, but I don't know what to change to. So how do they figure it out? And there's a bunch of ways that they can figure out. Number one, ask family and friends. What do you do when you're faced with this situation? Doesn't mean you're going to follow their advice, but you're going to get ideas from them. Another thing you can do is watch. Watch and see what other parents do. Another thing you can do, it's an amazing day and age in which we live, Yvonne. You can go online and Google it.
Yeah.
And you will get more answers than you ever imagined. And
yeah.
Some you might like and some you might not like. But you'll get some alternatives. And certainly one of the things I would recommend is to seek out a parent coach. That's what I am. Great, give me a call. We'll see if we can figure out some other things you can do that may be more successful. So one of the things, I'll give you a very concrete example. When my kids were young, and I found myself, I didn't do it a lot, but that I did it at all, I wasn't happy about. And I did it more than I wanted. I would scream. And I was like, oh my gosh, I do not want to be one of those screamers. It's not
yeah.
the picture when I imagine myself as a loving mom. Screaming is not part of it.
Yeah.
So, what else? What can I do? What's my goal in doing that? Well, first I have to catch myself when I'm screaming. And then what's my goal? Well, usually I want my child to do something different from what they're doing now, and I'm so frustrated that I don't know what else to do, so I scream. So what can I do instead? And what I did was I practiced when I heard myself screaming, I would move to, Paul, I just want you to know that I love you. I would
scream something loving.
And that would help me catch it and say, oh, that's right, I love you. I needed to be reminded that I love you.
Wow.
And I need you to know that I love you. So it helped. And then when I screamed, of course, the kids would start after that happened. It didn't happen all that often, but it happened. They'd start smiling because they knew Mommy was going to start laughing at herself and tell her that she was going to tell them she loved them. They thought it was good. So all of a sudden, screaming took on a very different quality.
Wow. So I'm sorry to cut you off. We're running out of time. This is really, really, really great information. Your website, if you can give us your website really quick.
I'm happy to. www.peacefulparenting.com.
I love it.
Thank you. Peacefulparenting.com. You're very welcome.
And I'll have to have you back on the show. Thank you for joining us and some really, really great information. And I look forward to talking to you again. And to our audience, thank you for tuning in. Also tune in Saturday. And I look forward to our next episode, part 6. Thank you.
I was meant to fly. Oh, no matter who pushes me, I know I'm not gonna let you. I'm not gonna let you get me down. No, no, no.
Thank you so much for tuning in today. It has been an absolute pleasure, and I thank you for choosing this time to spend with me, your host, Yvonne Pierre. For more information about the show, how to be a guest, or to simply let me know what you think about today's show or previous shows, visit me at ypierre.com. That's www.ypierre.com. Remember to keep God first. Know that you are blessed, and always stay true to yourself. I love you, God loves you, and thank you for listening.
I was meant to fly.